Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Barb Fuller, and she is the ISU Nutrition and Health Program Specialist. Good and Barb, we have something coming up that is really important, and there's an event and we want to know why. So it has to do with canning. Tell us first the date, time, place of this class that you're going to be giving.
It's September 1st in at the Cass County Extension Office on 10th Street, and it's in the evening from 6:30 to 8.
Okay.
And there's no cost. Anybody is welcome to come, but we do want people to call ahead at least by Thursday morning so we know how many handouts and copies and things to have. If you forget, that's okay. We may not have enough to go around, but just so we have an idea.
Okay. And to make that reservation, you call 243-1132. Of course, it's 712-243-1132. And we'll remind you again of that. Now, this is going to be mostly about canning. And, you know, Barb, I've been hearing a lot more people who are interested in that. We usually think of as old-time kind of thing that we did.
There are a lot more people interested. Some people that it kind of skipped a generation. Maybe their mother didn't can, and now they're kind of interested. They're growing a garden, or they're more concerned with where their food comes from, either buying things locally or using some local foods. So it's kind of on a resurgence.
And Barb, now it's here. It is September. You're doing this. You're going, well, my goodness, the canning season is over, but it really is not. I just talked to somebody yesterday who was getting ready to can green beans again.
Yes, the green beans seem to have kind of cycled. They were came on early, and then it was so hot and dry, and they quit. And now they seem to be coming again. Tomatoes are going pretty good. If you have tomatoes, September is a great time. And there's things that you can do year-round. If you like to do jellies and jams, pickles, you can do those year-round.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm thinking, as my old experience of talking about that, green beans, it seemed to me, was the number one thing that people wanted to can because they didn't like them frozen. Number two probably was tomatoes, tomato juice, that sort of thing. And then high on the list was peaches. And there have been some gorgeous peaches. I don't know after September 1st whether there will be, but probably.
Probably for a while. I think some of the Colorado peaches are still coming. The Georgia peaches may be done. So it kind of depends what you like. And there are our local peach orchards in Hamburg. They have wonderful peaches, or they did last year. I know they weren't affected by the flood. I'm not sure how their peaches are this year, but there are, again, local sources of those.
Okay. And there have been, obviously, some changes from your grandma's day in terms of canning. And why is that, Barb? Why have there been changes?
Well, there was a lot of research done. So if you're looking at old cookbooks or old recipes, 1988 is kind of the cutoff date. USDA and the Home Food Preservation Center, which is at the University of Georgia, kind of looked at everything that people can freeze and dehydrating and looked at those recommendations, especially for canning. Does it need to be at a higher temperature? In order to get a really high temperature, you need to use a pressure canner. So that's the low-acid vegetables, green beans and carrots. And
corn, you know, that's another thing some people can is corn. That would be low-acid.
Yes. And then anything with a protein in it, like meat or fish or things like that. So some people like to can beef or deer meat. Again, that needs to be pressure canned. So knowing the difference, that's what I'll be talking about, which things can be in a traditional hot water bath, and which things really need to have a pressure canner to get to the higher temperature.
So just for those of us who may not understand why we need a pressure canner, you know, why not do the boiling water bath? Great grandma used to do that and boiled the beans for, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours. What's the difference between a boiling water bath and a pressure canner?
Well, the boiling water bath is a big pot filled with boiling water, and you process your things that are at a pretty high acid. So most fruits, pickles, jellies, jams, tomatoes, if you put enough acid in them, so you need to put vinegar or lemon juice in them, you can do in a boiling water bath. If you choose not to do that or are making salsa that doesn't have vinegar in it, then you need to use a pressure canner. So pressure increases the temperature.
Yeah, I was going to say boiling water bath, the highest you can go is 212 degrees, right?
That's right. Boiling is boiling, and in some of my recent presentations, Somebody did say that. Well, I used to just boil them for 3 hours. Well, boiling at 3 hours doesn't make them any hotter. It's still boiling at the same temperature. It's not getting any hotter. The only way to make it hotter, 240 degrees, is with a pressure canner.
Okay. And the reason we need that higher temperature is?
We need to kill those botulism spores. Botulism is something that's been around for a long time, and the main problem with home canned foods is botulism. It lives in the soil. It doesn't like acid, so things like pickles and fruits don't have botulism, but things that are low acid, that botulism makes little spores, and botulism is one of those things that lives without oxygen. So we seal the jar, there's no oxygen in there, but the botulism is still there.
Okay, and that's the one thing, and you know, it doesn't happen often. We're not killing off lots of people because of botulism, but it does still happen. I mean, that's the dangerous one.
About 100 people a year in the United States still die of botulism. It's not all from home canned foods. There are other ways to get botulism poisoning, but 100 people a year. One of the big problems with botulism, you can't see it, you can't smell it, you can't taste it. Doesn't matter if you boil it for 3 hours. If it's there, it's there.
Mm-hmm. And when you open the jar and boil it in a pan, that doesn't do it either.
That's right. It has to be properly canned to start out with, because boiling, like you said, is 212 degrees. You have to get to 240 degrees, and the only way to do that is with pressure.
Now, one of the things that I always hear people say is, oh, I can't do that. I'm scared to death of a pressure canner. It's going to blow up. So what do you tell people?
It's safer than you think. You could possibly blow one up, but you have to really work at it to do it. So if you have a pressure canner going, you do have to babysit it to make sure that it keeps at the right pressure, whichever kind of gauge, there's a weighted gauge or a dial gauge. And if you need to know the difference, that's why you need to come to the program I'm doing in Atlantic on Thursday night.
I always tell Barb that you can't go shopping. You have to stay there. And then there's really no danger. You just pay attention a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
Those horror stories of blowing it up, you have to really do something terribly wrong. They aren't going to blow up just because you have it on or you don't quite know what you're doing.
Okay. So on this program, September 1st, 6:30 at the Extension office, you are going to talk about different kinds of equipment and so on. And, you know, you might, if people are really interested and they don't have equipment, they may want to go out and buy some, or they may see some at an auction. What's your recommendation there?
Well, the water bath kettle is just a big kettle, so I'll talk about, do you really even need to buy one? If you have a big stock pot, you may not even have to buy one. And if you buy one at an auction or a sale, those are generally pretty safe. Pressure canners, you need to look at the lid and the condition. I will be testing pressure canner lids before the program, and that's something that needs to be done yearly to make sure that the gasket is in good shape, it's holding the pressure that needs to be. It only takes really a few minutes to test it, but it is something, if you buy one, you know, if you spend a couple of dollars before you use it, have it checked out to make sure that it's the way it should be. It's in good condition and that the pressure is right. I had one last night. Someone brought in the lid, and she said, it's been sitting in the garage for 10 years.
Uh-huh.
It was in perfect condition. She said it had never been used.
Wow.
So even though maybe it's older, if it's not been used and kept in a box in good shape, it's a good way to look at something, because purchasing new can be kind of expensive.
Yes. And that you also, of course, have to purchase jars and all those kinds of things that you're going to talk about, the other equipment that you need to do canning. So I think people need to really take a look at why they're doing it and if they really want to do that. And, of course, the alternative is freezing if you have a freezer, and that's a whole other set of things to talk about.
Yes, and I will talk in the program. I will talk about freezing and dehydrating. So if somebody's not really interested in canning, although that seems to be the current thing that people want to know, I will talk about freezing and what things freeze well as an alternative. If you have a freezer, it is definitely a lot less expensive and a lot easier sometimes to freeze things than to can things.
Yeah. And no worry about safety, maybe about quality, but as long as it's frozen, no worry about safety. Well, Barb, if you want the information free for this program, And you're going to have more resources to tell people about and other options to learn more, because you're just going to get people started. It's called Canning 101.
That's right. It's not really a workshop. We aren't going to can anything. Like you said, talk about the equipment, all the safety considerations, both food safety and then safe food handling, so that the food is safe to use after you've done all this work and preserve foods. You want to make sure that it's safe to eat and that you have a quality product.
Okay, so that's September 1st, and that is this Thursday, unbelievable to me, this Thursday, 6:30 at the Cass County Extension Office, and that's at the fairgrounds, in case you haven't been there. 712-243-1132. Come and ask your questions and get your pressure canner tested if you have one.
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much to Barb Fuller, who is the ISU Nutrition and Health Program Specialist for this area. And until next time, here's a thought about friendship. The best vitamin for making friends, B1.